Thank you very much. I'm Vernon Jones, and today we're going to be studying that Christ is God's answer to the prophets. And maybe I should ask the audience today, do you believe that Christ is God's answer to the prophets in this Christ-centered religion? I believe that most religious people claiming to come to Christ would say, yes, we believe that Christ is God's answer to the prophets. But not everyone would say that. Now, I introduced a lesson with the same penetrating question as in the lesson before this one. Did Christ come, and is he God's answer to the prophets? Now, we fail many times in rightly dividing the truth. But the question is, did God fail in his mission? Did Christ fail in his mission to earth in the first advent? Or was God's promise by the prophets through Christ a success? The one great question that must be answered is this. Did these prophecies relating to the first advent of Christ fail? Or was Christ successful in fulfilling these prophecies regarding the purpose of his appearing? It is stated that the only hope for peace in this world is the second coming of Christ, when he shall establish his kingdom promised to him by Nathan to David in 2 Samuel 7, 12, and 13, Isaiah 2, 2 through 4. And in Daniel 2, verse 44, which promise is supposed to have failed to materialize at his first appearing. Now, a question. If God, by these prophets, promised his kingdom to Christ, if he would come to earth and be born of the Virgin Mary, and he failed him in that promise that he made did not come to pass, how does Christ even know that God can or will do for him at his second coming that which he promised but failed to do for Christ in the first time? If he failed once, what assurance do we have that he will not fail a second time? According to the doctrine of premillennialism, or the future reign of Christ at his second coming, he was not able to make good his promise, and because of his failure, he had Christ sacrificed instead and built the church as a substitute for a plan gone wrong. Churches of Christ subscribe to no such defeatist doctrine. We believe our Bible. We believe God told the truth by these prophets, and we believe that Christ is God's answer to the prophets. We believe he fulfilled everything for which God sent him to the earth to accomplish. We do not believe that one promise of God failed. We believe the kingdom of David, with Christ reigning on David's throne, is a spiritual kingdom, with David's throne now established in heaven with Christ as ruling king. Psalms 89, verse 36. Please take the time to read that passage. We believe we are a spiritual house, a spiritual kingdom, for in 1 Peter 2 and 5, your Bible says, ye are built up a spiritual house, and in Ephesians 2:21, our Bible reads, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Therefore, this kingdom which Christ as king is not a fleshly kingdom. It is not for a fleshly Israel to inhabit nor to inherit, but only the land of Canaan Christ declared as he stood before Pilate. Now, my kingdom, he said, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But even though Christ really tells us plainly that his kingdom is not of this world, that it is not an earthly kingdom, else his servants would fight may seem determined to force him back to earth to establish an earthly kingdom. And it doesn't matter how many people try to do this, it just isn't going to happen. He did not come, therefore, to set up an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem at his first advent, for this he could have done. He could have done this the first time. This he refused, declaring to both the Jews and to Caesar's court, "My kingdom is not of this world." This dream that many have of being governors and kings or being promoted to some high and exalted office to rule over our enemies on earth at the second coming of Christ may as well be forgotten. His kingdom is not that kind of kingdom. Had it been, he would have had his servants fight for him while he was on the earth, that he be delivered from Caesar's court and not be crucified, and forcing God by such an act to take Christ back to heaven to bide his time for a second attempt to accomplish that which he failed to do at his first appearing, making the prophets of the Old Testament false prophets. Any attempt to make the prophets of God, God himself and Christ, out false prophets and teachers, weaklings not able to make good their promises, would be to us a tragic sham. We subscribe to no such charges against God. To establish the fact that Christ is God's answer to the prophets, I begin with Matthew 1:23, where it reads, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us." Now, this prophecy is found in Isaiah 7:14. It says, "You cannot prove Mary was a virgin." Why would one say that? The Bible says that she was. But someone says you can't prove that she was anything more than a marriageable girl. Oh, yes, I can. Your Bible answers the critics at this point. Listen as I read to you from Luke 1:34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel had just told her in verse 4 of 31 that she should have this child. The expression "know not a man" simply means that she had never experienced what we call the marital relationship. And this true, she was a virgin. And this cannot be laughed to scorn. Christ was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. And in Matthew 1:23, they are both correct in translating the truth regarding the virginity of Mary. Now here, Christ was God's answer to the prophets. And Isaiah had said that he would be born of a virgin, and he came of a virgin, and he came to save his people from their sins. In Matthew 2:2, the wise men ask, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" In verse 4, Herod asked the priest where Christ should be born. In verse 5, they answered, "In Bethlehem of Judea." And this is the fulfillment of the prophet Micah in chapter 5:2. In Matthew 2:11, your Bible reads, "They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Again, Christ is God's answer to the prophets as to his having been born of a virgin to be the king of the Jews. "As governor that shall rule my people Israel," he said in verse 6. Our question is, was Christ defeated in the purpose for which he was born? Tell us if these prophets were true or false. If false, how can we believe these prophets in anything that they promised? We couldn't believe them in anything else, could we? Just think that over. In John 4:25, The woman at the well said to Jesus, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Now hear Christ as he said, I that speak unto thee am he. Now this is the spiritual fulfillment of Daniel 9 and verse 25. In John 6, 68 and 9, we have this reading. Then Simon Peter asked him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, which is the Old Testament Messiah, the Son of the living God. The marginal reading of your Bible is the Holy One of God. Again, Christ of the New Testament is the Messiah of the Old Testament, toward which the Jewish nation had been looking for centuries as their king on David's throne. Truly, he is God's answer to the prophets. We can listen to the testimony of Christ now if you believe what he says. Let us come to the conversation that Christ had with the Jews, the record of which is found in John 8. Christ is pointing out to them their tragic condition in rejecting him and not believing that he came from God as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He says to them in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Just what's the meaning of the expression, I am he? In verse 25, they ask Christ, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Now from the beginning in Matthew 1:23, he was declared to be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hear your Bible again as recorded in Mark 1, verses 1 through 3. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now this is the answer of God, where the prophet foretold of this very event and of the preparation for the coming of our Lord. And he said it in these words, The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is a literal fulfillment of Isaiah 40 and verse 2. The same prophecy was quoted by John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verses 1 through 3, and again in Luke 3, verses 3 through 5. We realize that if thus far we have not become convinced that this Christ is the Christ of the prophets, and if thus far we are not willing to accept Christ as God's answer to the prophets, then listen to Christ in his own words. As he received the messengers from John the Baptist in Matthew 11, verses 1 through 6, and also 13 through 15, John is in prison, and he sends his disciples with this question, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? But listen to the answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Then in verses 13 through 15, Christ says this of John the Baptist, For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if we will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear. Again, hear Christ as he speaks, the record of which is found in Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. And he, that is Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for to read. Now listen to what happened. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, that is, the Isaiah of the Old Testament. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and the receiving of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Now hear verse 21. "And know that Christ came to direct answers to the prophets. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." My good friends, these are quotations taken from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And let me read to you what Christ said was being fulfilled in him at this advent. And here are the exact wordings of Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." John in Matthew 14 was asking if Christ were the one to come. And these quotations from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, Isaiah 29:18, Isaiah 35:5, Isaiah 42:28 were given as the answer proving that Christ was God's answer to the prophets, for Christ was performing every act that was to be done by the one to come. Yes, Christ was that one to come. He is the one of whom the prophet spoke. Our question is, did he fulfill the mission for which he was sent, or did the prophecy of the prophets prophesy falsely? Cannot we see that this theory, which teaches the future reign of Christ on earth as the fulfillment in the future of these prophecies from the Old Testament, must be wrong, because it makes false every prophecy regarding the mission of Christ, and makes false that very declaration made here by Christ himself. Now, good people, if Christ did not fulfill these prophecies, carrying out their purpose for his coming to the earth, and that he was born of a virgin, as the prophecy declared, he would then supply that which we need for assurance. And do we have that with the prophets? And that this very Christ are not all false? In the words of John the Baptist, I ask you, was he the Christ of the prophets, or shall we look for another? My friends, to declare them all failures is to us as an act of infidelity, destroying the dependability of the Bible. All came to pass as prophesied. Now, one of the great chapters in the Old Testament is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And we are using this to close this part of this lesson today. It is to me the most beautiful, the most profound, the most comforting of all chapters of the Bible. picturing as it does the last story of our Savior, our Redeemer, our substitute for sin. I have but time to give the high points of these verses and listen to them, and know that Christ is God's answer to the prophets. Who shall deliver us? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I ask you who are listening, do you believe this report of these prophets? Or do you teach that they fail? Then it reads, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. He hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. I hear this, my good people. And know once for all that Christ is God's answer to the prophets. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. In verse 10, he was made an offering for sin. In verse 11, he was to justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, and closes with these words in verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with great, and he shall divide the spoil with strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now we can see that the prophecies were fulfilled, every one of them. That is, the trial, the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It was this chapter that the eunuch was reading in Acts 8, verses 32 and 33. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. And as the eunuch asked Philip this question, of whom speaketh this prophet this? Of himself or of some other? Now listen to the answer, and again know that Christ is God's answer to the prophets. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus was the answer, wasn't he? Jesus was the sin bearer of Isaiah 53, my friends. All the prophetic pronouncements regarding the coming of Christ actually came to pass. Yes, Christ is God's answer to the prophets, and as God's answer, my prayer is, in his holy name, that you accept today and take him into your life and let him reign in your heart as your king, believing in him and his promises and not that of men, repenting of sins committed against him, your fellow man, and confessing his name before men and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you trust him, you will do this. Thank you for listening today.